Good morning. How is everybody? Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 10. I'd like to have a word of prayer. Let's bow for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you now, asking if it be thy will, would you help us to enter into your word? Dear Lord, we are weak, weak vessels. We need your spirit, and we need your presence. Dear Lord, I pray that we are met together in your name. Lord, would you meet with us? Forgive us, Lord, of our sin. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I have a vital question this morning. I was sitting there just a minute ago thinking about the young people. Not many young people want to attend worship. And I remember being your age, sitting there listening to these men. And I don't care how old we are, except we become as little children, we're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. I have a vital question. What we're doing here is life and death. You know that? And we don't think about that when we're young. But it's life and death. I remember I was very young at Brother Don Fortner's conference. And Brother Scott Richardson was preaching. And he said, well, we're going to have a Bible conference. He said, one guy stands up and he preaches for a while. And then the next guy gets up and says, move over, brother, and give me a shot at that thing. And that's kind of what we view. But this is life and death. You know that? This is life and death. We could go meet God today. Today. This could be it. Today. Matthew chapter 10, look at verse 11. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Our Lord is telling this to those whom he called to preach. Verse 7 says, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. We could go meet God today. Verse 11 says, and into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. Who in it is worthy? Now verse 1 says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, so he said this to them, his 12 disciples. But turn with me over to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 1 says, "After these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, Peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, Even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city." So he said this exact same thing to 70 more. 70 more. And he recorded both of these to say the exact same thing to every single man that he's ever called to preach. Every single person who preaches the truth. So back over in our text in Matthew chapter 10. Verse 11. He says, "Into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, and I have now entered Apopka, Florida." He says in verse 11, "Inquire," and that means ask the people, "who in it is worthy?" So according to the commandment of our God, I'm going to ask you a question. And I want to strongly encourage you not to answer me. As I ask this out loud, ask yourself this question in your heart. Who in here is worthy? Who in here is worthy of this gospel? Can you believe you're sitting here? Can you believe it? How many people live in Orlando? Why are we sitting here? Who in here is worthy of the gift of God? Worthy of his blood. Worthy of his death. Anybody? Who in here is worthy of the peace of God? The Prince of Peace. Who in here is worthy of Jesus Christ? As I hear that question, this is what my mind answers. I'm not. I'm not. That's a really convicting question, isn't it? Isn't that convicting? Here's why it's so convicting. This text right here says some people are. Look at verse 11. It says, "And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence." When you find the worthy ones, stay with them. That's scary, isn't it? Verse 12, "And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you." Our Lord is saying some people are worthy and some people are not. Turn with me over to Luke 20. The Sadducees are asking the Lord a question about a woman who married seven different brothers. Verse 29, Luke 20, verse 29 says, "There were therefore seven brethren, and the first took a wife and died without children, and the second took her to wife, and he died childless, and the third took her, and in like manner the seven also, and they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, The children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection." Our Lord said, "They which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world." Isn't that something? Go to Luke 21. Verse 36 says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Go to Acts chapter 5. The apostles were apprehended for preaching the gospel and brought before a council. And Acts chapter 5 verse 40 says, "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." They were counted worthy to suffer shame. The Apostle Paul told the Ephesians, "Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." He told the Colossians, "Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing." He told the Thessalonians, "Walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." He said in 2 Thessalonians 1, just listen to this, verse 11, "Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling," worthy, "and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith," power. Now let me ask this question again. Who in here is worthy? While I was writing these notes out, my heart started hurting right here. I was nervous. Are you worthy to suffer for Christ's sake? No, I'm not. I believe my brother Paul and Silas, I esteem them higher than myself. I'm not. Are you worthy to walk before God, pleasing Him in His kingdom? No, I'm not. Examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. In just a minute, we're about to walk out of that door. And we're going to walk out of here one of two ways. One of two ways. We're either going to walk out of here really sad. Really sad. Because we just heard the worst news of our lives. Or we're going to walk out of here really glad. Because we just heard the greatest news of our lives. The gospel. Let's examine ourselves. Who is worthy? What are God's requirements to be worthy of Christ? Worthy of His salvation. All of His requirements are in our text. Go with me back to Matthew 10. Our Lord called His disciples and He equipped them with their abilities and their message. And then He told them who it was for. Look at verse 6. It says, "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." God's first requirement to be worthy is you got to be lost. First requirement. You've got to be lost. I can be that. I can be that. I can be a dumb, blind, lost sheep. I'm lost. Examine yourself outside of Jesus Christ. If you are left to yourself, if it's left up to you and your own free will, can you make it there on your own? Or are you lost? I'm lost. I'm lost. Jesus, Savior, pilot me. I'm lost. I'm blind. I don't know the way. Lord, don't leave me. I'm lost. If you can honestly say that in your heart, you might be worthy. You might be. Because this is what our Lord said. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm lost. I'm lost. Let's look at our Lord's next requirement. Verse 8 says, "Heal the sick." In order to feel the healing touch of the Master's hand, in order to be worthy of the balm of Gilead, you got to be sick. You've got to be sick. Look at Matthew 9, verse 12. Matthew 9, verse 12 says, "But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Go ye and learn what that meaneth." David learned, didn't he? Oh, man, he learned. The Lord let him catch a glimpse of the condition he was really in. This man's the king. He had it all. The Lord gave him a glimpse of what he really is. Go over to Psalm 38 with me. Psalm 38, verse 1. David says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over my head. As an heavy burden, they're too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. Sick. I'm sick. Is that you? Is that you? Our Lord's next requirement is back in our text in Matthew 10. Verse 8 says, cleanse the lepers. Who is worthy of the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Our Lord said, lepers are worthy. Lepers are. Now examine yourself. Do you see a little bit of good in you? When a leper thought he had leprosy, he went to the priest. And if he had just a little bit in him, he had to be shut up. He's a leper. He's unclean. But as soon as it took over and he was totally white from the top of his head to the bottom of his foot, completely covered in it, he was pronounced clean. Now, do you see a little bit of good in you? Or just a little bit of bad in you? Yes, I have a spot right there. I'm not totally perfect. Do you see that, or are you forced to cry, unclean, unclean? From the sole of my foot to the crown of my head, I'm nothing but filthy and putrefying, full of sin. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. If you can say that, you might be worthy of this healing. Let's look at our Lord's next requirement. Verse 8 says, raise the dead. In order for a man or woman to be worthy to receive eternal life, in and of himself, in his own flesh, he's got to be dead. Has to be. Turn with me over to 2 Samuel chapter 9. Mephibosheth was a poor, crippled man. We know his story. Listen to the words of Mephibosheth. 2 Samuel chapter 9, look at verse 7. And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And Mephibosheth bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Based on the scripture, do you know what he sounds like to me?
Worthy.
Sounds like he's worthy. You tell a man you're dead in your trespasses and sins. You know what he's going to say? "No, I'm not. No, I'm not." Well, then you're not worthy. Not worthy of eternal life in Christ. The Spirit of Christ quickens the dead. That's who he quickens. Our Lord's last requirement is in verse 8, back in our text, Matthew 10. He told his apostles to cast out devils. Go with me over to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." What makes a sinner worthy to be delivered by the work of Jesus Christ? They have got to be held captive. They've got to be. They've got to be captives of Satan and his army. If I'm going to be worthy of deliverance, I must acknowledge that everything in me that is in my flesh is only evil continually. Go with me to John 8. Verse 33 says, "They answered him, 'We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that you shall be made free?' Jesus answered them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father.' They answered and said unto him, 'Abraham is our father.' Jesus saith unto them, 'If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham.'" What did Abraham do? He believed God. Verse 40, "But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." He didn't seek to kill me. "You do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Jesus saith unto them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceedeth forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. They said, don't say that about us. Don't you call us that. Now go with me to Ephesians 2. Let's see what we say. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, and you, is this you? Hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just like everybody else. But God. If a person doesn't possess God's Holy Spirit, then he possesses some other kind of spirit. And every other spirit than God's Holy Spirit is an evil spirit. Back in John 8, our Lord said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What makes a person worthy of deliverance in Christ? Here's what it is. In them must dwell no good thing. Nothing good. Is that you? I ask myself, is that me? I'm the preacher. No good thing. No good thing. Go back with me to our text in Matthew 10. Verse 11 says, and into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it. Preach these things to the house. Verse 13 says, and if the house be worthy, if the house is lost, if they're sick, if the house is completely full of lepers, lepers who continually cry unclean. If the house knows that they're dead in their trespasses and sins, and if the house is afflicted and tormented over their captivity of sin, then you speak peace to that house. Peace. Peace be unto you. Because they are my lost sheep. The ones my Father gave to me before the foundation of the world. That's how you're going to know them. Show my lost sheep the way. Christ. Tell my sick sheep about the great physician. Christ. Tell my sinful, leprous sheep about their great shepherd who became sin for them. That's Christ. Tell my evil, tormented sheep that captivity has been led captive. You're all free. Everybody's free. Verse 13 in Matthew 10 says, if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, if they say, I'm not lost. I don't know what you're talking about. They may be lost, not me. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm not sick. I'm past my sin. I'm already past all that. I was a leper. Oh man, you don't even know what I used to be. Let me tell you what I used to be, but not anymore. Don't tell me I'm dead. The devil ain't got nothing on me. He can't touch me. Man, how sad is that? That's a puppet. Verse 13 says, if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now, if a house is worthy, it's only because that house was made worthy. That's the only reason. Jesus Christ did all the finding. We're just lost. Jesus Christ did all the healing. We're just sick. Jesus Christ did all the cleansing. We're just filthy. Jesus Christ did all the raising. We're just dead. Jesus Christ did all the delivering. We were just captive. So let's ask this question one last time. Who is worthy? How does a house full of lost, sick, dead sinners respond to that question? There's a song that we're all going to sing forever together. Forever and ever. And that song is in Revelation 5. Turn with me over to Revelation 5. Revelation 5 verse 8 says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. I like that song. Amen. Amen. Lord, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. He alone is worthy. Thanks be to God that He would make us lost and sick and leprous and dead. I pray the Lord will bless His Word.
Once again, our God has been pleased to bless us. I'm so thankful. Thank you, Gabe. Jesus Christ the Lord is precious. He's precious to sinners made worthy by the grace of God. That's what we've heard this morning. That's what I heard. I hope. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I hope the Lord will continue to speak to us today about the things we've heard this morning, that we'll be able to meditate, ponder on these things, talk about these things with one another as we have opportunities to fellowship today, and that He'll be pleased to bring us back again tomorrow to hear again. So I know there's a group that's going to lunch at a restaurant just across the highway and down the road a couple of blocks, so you can ask about that. I know they've prepared for us, and be happy for you to join them. So let's stand together, Brother Tom. We're going to sing number 30 from the softback hymnal. If you'll stand, I'd like for us to have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing this hymn, and you'll be dismissed. Okay. Our Heavenly Father, we are reminded again of Your great grace, and we thank You that it is a worthy, acceptable saying that Christ Jesus came to save sinners. We thank You that You make Your children to be the chief of those sinners. Cause us to see our dependence and our need for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for a precious Savior, one who has finished the work, one who makes sinners acceptable in Thy sight. We ask, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would strive with us today and cause us to rejoice in what we've heard, to encourage one another, the testimony of Your grace. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Number 30, the softback hymnal.